It's 8:37 on FLX Morning here on Finger Lakes News Radio. And time to get healthy with our friends from Finger Lakes Health. Laura Turbine back with us. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Paul.
How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
Looking forward to the holiday weekend.
I must say.
So who did you bring to chat with us today?
I love when we can bring someone sort of new or always just bring a different angle of healthcare. So this morning I'm here with Melissa Sanford. She's the manager of our dialysis program, director of our dialysis program. And many people don't realize, but we're in one of the very few dialysis centers in the region. So we serve many, many people who have a need for dialysis, which, as we'll talk and learn about, is really a life-saving treatment for people. And so it's critical that they ensure that they can actually have a spot, that our staff obviously gets to know our patients exceptionally well because patients come three times a week. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we're thrilled to have her here to talk today about really kidney disease, why this is important, kidney health, also the dialysis services we have, but most importantly, I think, what a critical service she and her staff are providing to our region.
Now, Melissa, good morning. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
What brought you into this field?
Well, long story. You know, I've had a lot of family and friends be affected by kidney disease. So it kind of was a draw for me in that aspect. So that's how I ended up here.
And how did you come to be a part of the Finger Lakes Health family?
Luckily, opportunity showed itself and made my way up here.
Well, welcome aboard. Glad to have you on the team, so to speak.
And your background is nursing.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's kind of break down some of the what we're talking about with kidney disease. When people talk about kidney problems, I think the first thing that pops up is, kidney stones. But that's not the only problem you can have with kidneys.
No. Unfortunately, kidney disease is pretty relevant, and a lot of people don't realize they even have it until it's too late. I guess anywhere from 1 in 7 adults are affected by kidney disease. It's 15% of our U.S. population.
Wow. There's a real link with diabetes as well. So as we're seeing a rise in terms of people who are living with diabetes, we've also seen a rise in sort of renal failure or those conditions that lead to renal failure. And we can talk a little bit about that. And when it gets to the point where someone does indeed need dialysis, it is a critical course of life-saving treatment.
And the most important thing, I think you said, Melissa, is people don't even realize how can these kinds of conditions develop where eventually you wind up needing dialysis?
Well, unfortunately, it's kind of a long course of things that happen. You know, if they have hypertension or they have diabetes, long-standing issues, maybe some compliance issues, and then all of a sudden they go to their doctor and things are out of control, unfortunately.
Yeah. And people often find it out with sort of blood work and testing and in terms of and renal function tests and some other kinds of things that are going to be diagnostics that hopefully if you're seeing a primary care doctor regularly, and we really, of course, encourage all the time on this program for people to find that medical home, find the person you can speak with, find someone who you're working with who's a partner in your care so that hopefully you can be getting a little more proactive before you get to these stages.
Absolutely.
And the thing to remember here is the kidneys are a cleansing organ. So much of what is going on in the rest of the body, it all filters back through that system. So things like high blood pressure and whatnot, those can wind up having those long-term effects. So what's the first step for somebody to determine if they're having a kidney issue?
Mostly just blood work. Your BUN creatinine levels might be climbing. That's kind of the warning levels for your doctor. Just start looking to ways to prevent that course from accelerating, obviously.
Now, if it gets to a point where your kidneys aren't able to function on their own, is this where dialysis comes in?
Absolutely. But dialysis isn't the only, you know, course of action. There's obviously ways to get a transplant, but that kind of takes a longer process than just simply going on dialysis.
Now, dialysis, that's a term that's kind of bandied about. I'm not sure that people really understand what it is. Can you kind of give us a 101?
Yep. So dialysis, hemodialysis, is one of the big services we offer at Finger Lakes Health. It's a process where an individual goes into the unit. They're hooked up to a machine that has a specialized membrane that helps to kind of take out those toxins from the body along with any extra fluid. because usually when your kidneys aren't working, you're not peeing. So you're kind of accumulating fluid in your body along with those excess toxins. So dialysis is a way of removing that and cleaning the blood.
And most of the time done as an outpatient. So people end up on a schedule where they obviously need to be on a pretty regimented routine for this. So they would come in. We have 13 chairs, in essence, who are basically, and we run multiple shifts where people have assigned days, and they would come in, go through, obviously they would spend a few hours there, so they really get to know the staff well, they get to know one another well, mm-hmm. and be really as a little community, and then have their treatment, and then actually go home. So it's really an outpatient process for the most part, and then there's something called peritoneal dialysis that's done more at home. Mm-hmm. There's a few other ways that people can dialyze their blood, but...
Yep, absolutely. And we are very fortunate enough, like all dialysis centers, we have a provider that's there weekly. We have a social worker, a dietitian. We have very specialized RNs that work on the floor. And we work to pretty much keep the patient in the best health that we can.
Now, once you go on dialysis, do you ever come off?
You can, highly unlikely usually, unfortunately, because some people can regain their function depending on where their level of kidney function was when they started. But unfortunately, it's usually a long process unless the patient is able to get a transplant. So.
And the transplant, is that basically worst case scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of the finality, or you're going to be on dialysis, unfortunately.
And there's so many, I think there's so much education that goes along with this process. As you can imagine, it's a big time commitment. It's a big lifestyle commitment for someone, ultimately. So knowing that they have a team at the dialysis center, as we talked about, social worker, dietitian folks, you really do need to change your diet, partly because of what's happening with your whole organ system. So there's so much support. And I think while it might be frightening when people get to this point, it also is a point where they go from having that maybe concerning diagnosis to realizing there's going to be a whole team in your court working with you. And what we've been talking about is we really do see a lot of patients from across multiple counties, across Seneca, Ontario, Yates, Wayne. There had been previously a couple other dialysis centers in the area that had closed, so we're receiving more and more of their patients. So unfortunately, it's a growing need and one where there really probably aren't always, I had just said to Melissa, we expanded to running a whole extra shift. We run two shifts now. Correct.
Two shifts on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and three shifts on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we are a very busy group.
All right. We're talking with Melissa Sanford and Laura Turbide from Finger Lakes Health, and specifically talking about the kidney disease dialysis program and the services offered by Finger Lakes Health. I really like the idea that you have that many stations in one location, because I would think that part of the support system for people that are on dialysis is to be around people who are going through the same thing. So if you've got 12, 13 people in there and it's constantly rotating, you're talking to different people from different backgrounds, maybe learning some coping skills, being able to share some of the experience of what's happening.
No, absolutely. Our patients all get along very well. We have some that have been there for quite a while, some that have only been there for a couple weeks, but they all are wonderful support for each other.
And I think the families as well, as you said, Paul, it's not just the community of patients, but when you think about it, we all know caregivers have their own level of stress and different level of having to learn and having to learn how to accommodate those. We talked about meals and medications and even transportation. So having not only the patients have a cohort, but having those family members have the educational resources of our staff, as well as I think the other patient families, to know that they're seeing people at various stages, some who've been through this for a long time, who can actually sort of really provide that support to one another.
Now, you mentioned that when you go on dialysis, there obviously has to be some dietary modifications. What are those usually like for an individual? Is it a case-by-case basis, or there's some kind of general guidelines that are followed?
Well, there's mostly a general guideline because, you know, those anything that's in your body will build up because you're not able to process it. So potassium is definitely one that we try to control, which you imagine potassium's in pretty much everything, your bananas, your potatoes, your pastas. Also salt. Salt is a big one because we don't want our patients to retain all of that fluid. So just monitoring your salt intake, and then you have to watch out for your phosphorus levels, like your cheese and your dairy. So it's a very restrictive diet. So we do have to offer a lot of support and education to our patients and families.
Now, if you're listening, I want you to think back to when you were a kid and your mom used to yell at you that you don't drink enough water and you drink too much soda and sugary drinks. This is what we're talking about, because this is what can happen to you as an adult. It's that simple. In order for your kidneys to function, they need to be flushed on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So that means that 64 ounces of water, just do it.
Exactly.
Plain and simple.
Exactly. There are, I think what we find after years and years of doing this show is there are some commonalities and sort of a Venn diagram where everything intersects, and some of those good, healthy, preventative type habits are the things that not only help with cardiac disease and hypertension and kidney disease, but it is overlapping. And as much as I try to be a cerebral person and I don't exercise as much as I should, et cetera, I realize it's all connected. So if I'm not doing what's right for one part of my body, it's obviously impacting the rest. So we it's a good time this time of year as we head into that new year to be really thinking about our habits. So never a bad time to remind.
Absolutely. Now, if you feel like maybe you need a screening to see what your kidney function is, or you already know that your functions are dropping, you want to find out more about the dialysis program at Finger Lakes Health, how can people reach out?
Well, generally, patients are referred to a nephrologist, and we have Dr. Jeffrey Rosenberg as our nephrologist right now. And, you know, he's available through the Strong Health System. And we have numbers, obviously, for him. And also, you can use our website to get those contact information. They can also even call our unit. I mean, we're more than happy to, you know, talk and educate people if they have questions or concerns.
And of course, as we said, we talked about primary care is really the entry door, the front door to our health system versus episodic care. We really want you to have a relationship with a medical provider who knows you and knows your habits. So you can always call our physician referral line or go on our website to identify most of our primary care physicians are either internal medicine or family medicine. Almost all are taking new patients. We can get you connected and you'll have sort of a medical home where someone can guide you.
And again, that website?
www.flhealth.org, and 787-4060 is our physician referral line.
There you go. All right. Happy holidays to both you, Laura, Melissa. Thank you for joining us here. Hope you have a great holiday weekend, and we'll check in next month.
Thank you so much.